Zebedee sat in his boat with his hired men. Zebedee was a prosperous fisherman, at least we believe he was, because he had other fishermen working for him. He had large nets, more than one boat. Perhaps Simon and Andrew, two brothers who would take their small boats and hand-thrown nets out to fish, also worked for Zebedee. But now he sits in his boat with the nets that need mending and watches his sons simply walk away. No plan for the future that he knows of, all because this man said, "Follow me." Zebedee had hoped they would take over the fishing business, but now all that was clouded over. What were the boys thinking? And Simon and Andrew, they all have families to feed, customers who rely on them. You know, Zebedee isn't getting any younger. Did they not give any of this any thought before they just jumped out of the boat and went after this man? Are they really going to throw all this away to go with this man, Jesus? Zebedee had heard Jesus speaking about the kingdom of God, the need to repent, and that the time they'd all been waiting for had been fulfilled. So he knew of this man, but to take his only sons with him and leave Zebedee in the boat mending nets, it was probably more than he could comprehend. This is an episode from the Gospels that I have heard more times than I can count. Between Russ and I bet we've preached this hundreds of times. To the point where when it comes time to preach it again, I have to sit down and intentionally read it slowly and reflectively, perhaps from more than one translation. After all, I know all that's said, and I know what happens in the narrative. I have heard about fishing for people since I was a child in Sunday school. This is one of those passages that makes me wonder, can a part of Scripture be so familiar that we can no longer find a living word in it? Of course, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the answer to that question is no, in case you were wondering. The problem comes when we, in thinking we know what this all means, I mean, how many of you think I'm going to do a sermon on call and follow and discipleship? We begin to think there's no room for the Holy Spirit to move, much less speak to us, which is, I hope, how I found myself coming back to these boats and sitting with Zebedee. I hadn't really given him a lot of thought over the years, but why didn't Jesus call him? Was he too old? Did someone have to stay behind and run the family business? Did he have his head down and was focused on the holes in the nets and didn't hear Jesus until his sons got up and started walking away? We don't know. Mark doesn't tell us. Mark is a man of few words. But I can rule out a couple of ideas because what I've come to understand about who Jesus is from the Gospels. I don't think that Jesus thought he wasn't disciple material. Jesus did not exclude people. They tended to exclude themselves when it came to following him. Jesus wasn't calling every fisherman along the shore. He was discerning a distinctive calling for these two sets of brothers. After all, Jesus would go on to teach in synagogues and in homes across the region, and not everyone who came to faith followed him on that road. Lazarus, for example, or Nicodemus, or Zacchaeus. And if you don't know who these men are, Google them, because each is a character in their own right, and each is a story of faithfulness. And then there are the sisters, Mary and Martha, and if you don't know who those are, Google them. People he healed or fed on the hillside. He saw them all worthy of the good news, all in need of the good news that he was bringing, that he was embodying, and yet they continued to be bakers and potters and blacksmiths and merchants and farmers. Only now their lives were different. For in believing in Jesus and his teachings, they were given hope. They carried that memory of the bread and fish at that intimate meal with 5,000 of their closest friends and neighbors. They thought back to that wedding in Cana when he changed water into wine, or when he told the story of the Good Samaritan. They let these Jesus encounters roll around in their heads and in their hearts while they went about their daily tasks of living. Perhaps it made a difference in how they did business, or when a beggar looked up at them from the city gates, maybe they responded differently. When someone spoke ill of them, maybe they were able to offer grace while turning the other cheek. Maybe they thought of Samaritans, their arch enemies, a little differently. When they went to synagogue, perhaps they started to hear scripture differently. All because of their encounter with Jesus and the good news he brought to them. With each encounter, those who saw, heard, or experienced Jesus were compelled to take time to ponder his challenge to their thinking, to their beliefs, and to the way they lived their lives. Some probably walked away from him thinking him a heretic, preferring not to have their worldview or their approach to daily living changed by Jesus. But for others, it was life-changing. But they were not one of the 12 who were called by Jesus to be his students for the next 3 years, and then the foundation for the community of believers that would become the body of Christ, the church. In my first church, when I was still wet behind the ears, there was a man named Ed. Now, he had a good TV and appliance sales and repair business in this little town where the church was. And this tells you how long ago, because they had a TV and appliance repair shop. He was a strong leader in our congregation. He was an elder many times over. He had taught adult Sunday school and preached on occasion when I wasn't there. Many people had told him, "You should go into ministry." And then he would smile and he'd say, "Well, you know, I really am a good TV repairman. I like to think that's my ministry. I apply my faith and the teachings of the Bible in the way that I run my business and interact with my customers." And I knew for a fact that he essentially worked on a sliding fee scale and would take time with widows who lived alone, who knew he just liked a friendly visit. He'd always stay for a cup of coffee. Like Zebedee, he stayed in the boat and mended nets or refrigerators. I like to think that Zebedee's way of faithfulness was to mend the nets, to continue to fish and serve his community and his customers. Maybe because of his encounter with Jesus, he too had a greater consideration for the poor. Or maybe he hired a guy with not a great work history because he knew that people often needed, maybe not deserved, but needed, a second chance. I imagine if James or John were married, Zebedee took their wives into his home so that they weren't alone. While in Cuba, Pastor Adalberto tried to make clear to us that we did not have to bring suitcases of stuff every time we came, that we could just bring ourselves. It wasn't because they didn't appreciate the stuff. It's that it made, you know, he wanted us to know that's not why they valued our visit. And I told him that those suitcases are the way that our entire congregation comes to Cuba with us. That what was in them wasn't from the four of us as much as it was from all those who could not come. The same for the pictures on the pennants that were strung across the sanctuary. We aren't all called to go to Cuba, but Jesus calls us all to faithfulness to our siblings who live there. From the beginning of his ministry, people were drawn to Jesus in different ways. With each encounter with the good news he brought to them, lives were changed. People lived differently. People became followers while still living their faithfulness in the way the Holy Spirit guided them. The same is true for each of us. It's not whether we are doing this or going there. It is how the gospel that Jesus brings us is changing our everyday lives. How is the Holy Spirit shaping and reshaping us into the people God intends us to be so that then we can fulfill our calling, whatever that might be? We are not so much the 12 disciples as we are those who remained where they were, transformed by our faith, living new lives because of our encounter with the living Christ. Amen.